Question. We often hear about the importance of compassion for others. What about compassion for ourselves, and how to distinguish from selfishness or being self-centered? Well, if you've studied at all the Buddhist meditation techniques in which you develop metta, karuna, and so on, you'll notice that we're taught to begin with ourselves. So we pay metta to ourselves, and only when you really have that sense of kindness towards yourself that you can effectively spread it to others. And similarly, when you have that sense of compassion for yourself, can you really develop compassion for others? Without that wise understanding and compassion for yourself, then one may call something compassion, may be simply pity. So pity and compassion, you know, not the same things. From being selfishness, from compassion for oneself and selfishness and self-centered, well, then we have to really ask, what does it mean to be compassionate towards ourselves? Okay, so compassion is the desire to remove suffering. But then we have to look into this whole idea, understanding of what does that mean? What is suffering? So if we just take the very most basic expressions of suffering, let's just say discomfort, then I don't think that it's going to be a very helpful principle in the long run. That's to say, let's say in the case of parents, and we see this a lot, parents don't want their children to suffer the slightest amount. But if parents take that on as a burden to protect their children from every small kind of discomfort, one, it's exhausting for them and frustrating, and two, if they are successful in a certain way, then in the long term it's the children that suffer, because you become strong through learning how to deal with discomfort, and you become smart through that. So a well-intentioned parent who lacks wisdom may, with the very best of intentions, try to mollycoddle and to protect the child from every kind of discomfort, and not let them they don't have to do anything they don't want to do, and they can do all the things that they like to do, and in fact be doing their child a great disservice, not preparing them for life in the world at all. So when we talk about compassion for ourselves or for others, it's the big picture, what the suffering in the whole picture of one's life, not just individual cases of, oh, I feel a bit hot or a bit cold, if I have compassion for myself, you know, I just leave here and go and do something else, or I'm bored. Boredom is not very nice, it's unpleasant, I don't have compassion for myself, I just find something exciting. So it's just a way of escaping from those areas of experience which we don't fulfill our immediate expectations or desires. Now, selfishness as such is not a bad thing. In fact, it's inevitable that you that you have to have an interest in your own well-being. But the question is, what is your well-being? What is your real best interest? You know, it's not necessarily always your financial or economic best interests. So, but being interested in and devoted into following your best interests is just rational and reasonable, and nothing to be criticized for. But if your efforts to secure your own well-being include or entail creating suffering for others, unnecessary suffering for others, and then we have to stop and to evaluate with a mind as clear and equanimous as possible. But it's not possible, is it, to live your life purely according to the wishes of others, or to do something, not to do things, simply because people say if you do this, you'll make me unhappy, therefore you shouldn't do it. But that's just emotional blackmail, isn't it? You have to look very clearly about, you know, what are your reasons for doing this, and if they're, you know, from defilement or from superficial reason, then you may well say, yes, although I would like this and enjoy it, it's not worth it. I'm willing, out of respect and out of kindness, not to do that. But there are always going to be certain things in life we think, I've really got to do this, and nobody else wants you to do it. But if you're really convinced that this isn't just, you know, your own thinking, it's in line, for instance, with the Buddha's teaching of wise people, then sometimes you just have to stand up for what you think is right, don't you? And you know, the difference between being stubborn and difficult and selfish and standing up for what you truly consider to be right is, it can be a subtle one, and it's not something that anyone else can always tell you. It's something you need to be able to develop, the power of being very honest with yourself, knowing how to look at your mind and being able to see that for yourself. Okay, so we got one more. What is the point of marriage? Well, I'm probably not the best person to ask about that, having never been married and not intending to get married. Well, you've probably got some ideas about this yourself. Let me just offer my opinion. Think that living off one of the most natural desires of human beings is to have children, and if you desire to have children, then marriage is usually a good place to start. Society generally approves of people getting married first before having children. And certainly in Buddhism, it's not criticized. Of course, you know, if there weren't people having children, then the human race would disappear. So relationships, loving relationships, in which you can find a partner who you would like to have children with, bring children, that's a very legitimate reason for getting married. I think life is tough. It's hard, and to have at least one person who you trust completely, who you understand, who you feel trusts you and understands you, and that you feel at ease with, and you feel warmth and love for, that's kind of a wonderful thing, isn't it? That to have that in life. Loneliness is a major source of suffering, and many people get married to escape from loneliness. So there are, I think, certain kinds of suffering that you can avoid through getting married, certain kinds of happiness which you can experience. But marriage is also very difficult. Having children and raising children is difficult, and so there are a lot of challenges involved in that as well. It's not, you know, in stories and so on, the marriage is the last line, you know, and they get the last scene in the book or the movie is, you know, in the church and throwing the confetti and going off on the honeymoon, and then they sort of live happily ever after. but you know, of course, in real life, that's not the end. It's just the beginning. So I think marriage is, you know, it's a question of the value of stable, long-term, intimate relations. And there are a lot of pros, and there are a lot of cons for that, and I think each person needs to work out for themselves. And of course, the vast majority, 99 people out of 100 would prefer that to living alone. I'm the one in 100 that prefers living alone.